But in so worrying, I was stepping away from the stress of the real world to a world that was familiar and safe, albeit not very pleasant, in fact, downright unpleasant. Hi, and welcome to episode 119 of the Midlife Reshape podcast. Now, this is the third in a mini-series that I'm entitling Releasing the Worrier Within. So I'm rounding out the series with three more tips. But actually, what I'm doing with this particular episode is going deeper. So they may not feel like tips. There's certainly more work to do, and these are optional. These are if you think that this is particularly worthy or relevant to you. So if you haven't checked out episodes 116 and 118 of the podcast, where I introduce the concept of worrying and how we can release that with some practical tips, then it's really worth starting there. So if you're new to the podcast or you're just catching back up, then check out episodes 116 and 118 by going to your Podfeed player of choice, checking out YouTube channel, or going up to midlifereshape.com/podcast and finding it there. So in this one, as I said, I'm going to go deep and I'm going to share three tips around doing some deeper reflection and deeper work on that. And this can be really liberating for those of you, I include myself in this because I've certainly had to do the work here, who feel crippled or consistently experiencing worry. It's a chronic issue and has been for years, and it's really getting in the way of life. It's mangling your enjoyment of life. Before I do that, though, I do have a sprout-sized request. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening in your Podfeed player of choice, please do. It helps the show, but it also means that you can find other episodes easier and you won't miss next episodes as they arise. So just hop over to your Podfit player of choice, subscribe, or subscribe on YouTube. You know what to do if you're on YouTube, I'm sure. If you're already subscribed, a couple more little asks. Could you, if you're enjoying the show, leave a rating? On YouTube, if you click that thumbs up for an episode and leave some comments, that would be magic. If you're in your Podfit player of choice, click that review button if it's obvious, and leave a 5-star rating preferably, and tell me what you like about the show. It really does help spread the word. And if you're not sure how to do it, pop over to midlifereshape.com/podcast and you'll find the button there for review, subscribe, etc. to find out how to do that for your platform of choice, whether it's Spotify or Apple. And yes, one more, just a little one. If you know one person, one other person who is perhaps a midlife looking to reshape, they've talked about the frustrations about their health and weight loss, perhaps their frustrations about life being stressful, full on, and not really being able to get a grip of it, then why not share the podcast for them? Because it's for them. It's for like-minded midlifers who want a bit more out of life and want to transform their health, but do it in a more sustainable way. Anyway, on with the episode. So going deep in relation to worry, what I want, I'm going to ask you a provocative question here, and you may tell me to F off or do one, Dave, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and please bear with me. What I want to do is firstly recognise that worry is largely it's largely something that we do unconsciously or subconsciously. It's there, we can sometimes catch ourselves in the act of worry, but rarely do we consciously worry about it. And in fact, in last week's episode, I shared the benefits of actually constructively consciously worrying as a means of releasing worry. We generally do it more unconsciously and we catch ourselves in the act, so to speak. And that really indicates where the real roots of worry are, because often worry is valuable if it's got something in it, in that, you know, I'm worried about my trip, my journey down south for a holiday to get the aircraft, that get the right time at the airport, all of that. That's worthwhile worries, my friend Paul McGee, sumo guy, would say. Because you can actually acknowledge the root of it and it seems sensible. Well, yeah, all I need to do is plan and prepare for that. That'll deal with the worry and also ensure I get to my holiday on time. But it's the worthless worry, as Paul would say. The worthless worry. The stuff that doesn't seem to have an obvious point to it or genuine cause to it, that is more of that rooted in our unconscious behavior. And whilst I'm not wanting to go into any therapeutic territory here, and I would certainly, as a caveat to this whole show, if you feel that this is where perhaps you might trigger some trauma, it might get really distressing or upsetting to do anything around this, then get some support and help. Reach out to me and I can certainly give you some guidance on perhaps how and where to go. Coaching is useful, but coaching tends to be more forward focused. So it's about recognizing you have a propensity to worry, perhaps recognizing some of the causes and understanding triggers, and then looking at what we can do to reshape that, to reshape how we respond to worry in the moment, and then ultimately get on with the goals that we want to achieve. Therapy does that. A good therapy will include that. But often what it's focused on, or best at, is digging in. If you're particularly trapped or stuck with some past trauma or some event, some experience, and really need to unravel it and explore it to let it go, that's what therapy is about. The right therapy with the right therapist and the right relationship, all of that matters, but that could be really important. So caveat this episode with that in mind. If you feel you need support, then it's really worth getting that support, whether it's accessing your employee assistance program, if you do need initial counselling sessions to support you, or your GP, or privately accessing therapists, etc. So, as I said, this is about going deep, and it's about recognising that that worry is unconscious, and it's rooted in the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves, the world, and each other, and what we can expect from the world and each other, and our relationships with food, for example. And those stories can be, they can be anything, they can be many and varied. So it can be things like, I'm too old to, I'm always a, I'm just a, or men are, women are, the world is a cruel place, or whenever I try something, it never works. As you can see, they're very general, broad brushstrokes that may have some grain of an experience in the past, but for whatever reason, we've embraced them as a general narrative for our life. And within that, worry can nestle and can be embraced by it. Because one of the things that we often do in our early life, particularly if worry's been there for a lot of years, it's developed out of a need. It's met a need in the past. It's helped you deal with perhaps, I don't know, perhaps say an abusive relationship, or parents who've had drink problems, or a bullying relationship as you've grown up in school or in work. It's developed out of those experiences. And at the time, it may well have been necessary, or you felt it really necessary to help you survive. And because of that, your mind, those narratives, have kind of embraced the worry and wrapped and woven it into the narratives of life. Because one thing we can't function with is an incoherent narrative. We can't have a life that is one thing and stories that are different, because then we get the dissonance, the clash between the two, and we can really, really be unwell if that lasts for any length of time. So our narratives underneath really do need to embrace the tendencies and the behaviours and make sense of them in their own way. And in so doing, they may be truthful or may make sense, may reflect the truth of that time, but that may no longer be the case. In fact, it may not be the truth of that time, it just may be what helps you survive, helps you get through. And underlying all that is that it doesn't have to make you happy. It's about survival and navigating the challenges of life. It's not about making you happy at the base level, it's about getting through. So that's often why we can find ourselves with embedded behaviours that actually make us miserable, don't do us any good, make us feel worse rather than better, but they've been blended into those narratives because they've helped us get through whatever, by whatever means. So with that in mind, the three tips that I want to give you, the three ideas, the three thoughts to provoke some action, are rooted in the question, what is it that perhaps you're getting from worry? What's the payoff? Or what has been the payoff that perhaps it no longer is relevant now? Now, as I said, you know, if you find that that's, you know, provocative and you are railing against and resisting it, I get it. I totally get it, because it's kind of saying that there may be something more to what is ultimately a miserable experience and a negative experience. So bear with me, because as I said before, it doesn't necessarily need to be a positive, happy experience for you to be getting a benefit from it. We need to reframe what I mean by benefit, and I'll do that with an example as we go. So with that question in mind, that rather challenging question, what's the benefit of worry? What's the payoff been, and perhaps still is, or even recently is, what is the payoff? So here's my three thoughts and three things to explore. Tip number one, think back. Think back over your worry history. Now, that might be a few years, it might be decades, it might be the light of your life, you know, for as long as you can remember. And that's fine, no judgment, but think back. And start to just think and see if you can spot patterns, times in your life, perhaps patterns of where and when and how worry shows up and what it does for you, what it might give you, what might be the themes and the threads around that worry. Last week I talked about getting to know worry and sort of see if you can spot themes, and I was more focused on the current situation. What is worry What are the themes of worry now? What do you tend to worry about now? This is more of a historic thing. And this is why, again, I go back to that caveat about take care of yourself. Exercise some guardianship over yourself. If this is potentially something that will trigger some uncomfortable or distressing feelings or unearth some trauma that you're not ready or perhaps even not even aware of, if it feels uncomfortable, be kind to yourself, be caring, at least, the very least, share perhaps with a trusted loved one, but get some professional help as well. So that's it. Have a look back and see whether you can spot the roots of your worry. But more importantly, because that could take some work, have a look back and see if you can spot some of the themes of the narratives, how the narratives have woven that worry into it and almost justified you being a worrier in that. See if you can spot what that might be. Now, if you're thinking, well, what do you mean, Dave? I'll give you an example shortly. So just stick with me on this one, if you don't mind. I'm going to introduce tip two now and then give you the example before I give you tip three. So, but have a look back. Perhaps journaling or reflecting or even, as I say, talking through with somebody can be really useful on that. Tip two, have a think about what the potential benefit or payoff of that worry in the past has been. How has it helped you? How has it helped you navigate life? What has it helped you get through? And what has been the emotional or psychological benefit in particular for you? So now is the time probably to share an example to give you a bit of colour in the picture, if you like, so that you can start to reflect on yourself. You won't have had the same experience, but you may be able to relate and it may just help you work through that. Okay, so as I indicated, I have a history, a propensity to worry, and certainly been a chronic worrier in the past. And in thinking back, I recognise that it probably started with a bit of hypervigilance to, as a young child, being always having to be quiet around my dad, always being on guard for being told off, shouted at, sent to my room, because I'm too noisy, I'm disturbing his nap, I am, or I'm not good enough, my handwriting shocking, all of these things. And because of that, it led to a sort of hypervigilance, a trying to not get in the bad books and trying to be overly perfect, which is obviously also for me the roots of my perfectionism. I'm a recovering perfectionist as well. So if we look back, that tendency to worry has its roots, but then became a behaviour and something that was rooted in the narratives going forward. It was something I took on as a strategy. So it helped, air quotes, me in my early life, my young life, but then took on its own sort of steam, if you like, through my teen years, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, that kind of thing. So as it's done that, it's become a rooted behaviour. And I noticed, looking back, that the narratives I had around myself embraced it, as I said, and started to accept it. So I accepted that worry was just who I am. It's me. That's what I do. I'm a born worrier. I've got a family member who's a chronic worrier. It's obviously passed down in genes. I started to embrace it as the story. But that's not really where the payoff is. That is where the story starts to envelop the worry and justify the behaviour and allow it to flourish and embed and become something that was just a way of life for me. But where's the benefit in that? And for me, that can be a little bit more difficult to find. But for me, I realised that the worry had a benefit that perhaps I didn't realise until later in life when I started reflecting back and realising that, you know what, I've always felt as if I'm a little bit out of kilter with the world. I'm a little bit out of step with other people. I'm socially awkward. I always have been. I was shy as a kid. Socially clumsy, perhaps physically clumsy as well. And very capable of just, or not capable, I guess, of forming the really good, smooth relationships. You know, our friends, don't get me wrong, but I always felt a bit clunky as if I had to work hard with them. And I became, again, hypervigilant to the signs that perhaps I put my foot in it, said the wrong thing, to learning the right ways to behave, to connect, to say what not to say, and started to not be myself. And worry, I realised, became a useful alternative to the stress of that. So I worried about that, but I also found that my retreat would be inside my head, would be to live in my head and to spend time worrying and ruminating rather than being out in the real world. So ironically, I'd worry about the real world and the situations and whether I'd fit and said the right thing and wrong thing and what could go wrong, etc. But in so worrying, I was stepping away from the stress of the real world to a world that was familiar and safe, albeit not very pleasant, in fact downright unpleasant and crippling at times. But this is where perhaps the payoff is not pleasant, but it's better than the alternative. Or in that, at that time, that irrational view now, it made sense. And I didn't know that I was doing this, but it made sense. It made sense looking back to think, yeah, I found that more predictable, more certain than the uncertainty of real life. And that is something that is still a work in progress for me, that I have a tendency to retreat into my head and detach myself from the world if and when I'm under stress. And that's my learning, is to be present in the world today and to practice and enjoy the moment. It's a work in progress. I'm getting a lot better. I am a lot freer. But that realization took a bit of work to unravel, but has been a key part in my progress. So again, it's an illustration. I'm not saying that would be you, but have a think about how that might apply, how that might be the case. What's the payoff, as well as how have the narratives been woven in? And tip three, do the work. Now, in the past episodes and other episodes, I tend to mention doable tips. This one's perhaps more general in that there isn't one particular tip, but I think this is really important. It's in relation to the tips one and two today, you know, getting to know the themes around the narratives around your worry, trying to see if there's some benefit or payoff for the worry that served you alongside the reasons why it's been embedded. It's then necessary to do something about it. Well, it's not necessary. Sometimes awareness can be enough. Sometimes that's interesting enough. And it's enough to help shift you in the moment to recognize the story and kind of shift you away. But for many of us, there is a bit of work to be done. And it is about doing the work. There isn't a one tip that fixes that or sorts it out. It is about perhaps doing a little bit more of that ongoing practice, that reframing. And again, this is where, you know, perhaps it might need that additional support from therapy, coach, counselling, or that kind of thing. You might even do it through conversations with a trusted loved one who you know isn't going to be judgmental, who's going to be supportive and help you sort of work your way through that. You can also do it yourself. There's nothing stopping you doing that. As I suppose a tale or experience of that, I would use myself as an experience. I certainly did it myself for the majority of the time. And that was largely because I was in a time when you didn't ask for help. Certainly weren't, you know, for a bloke, I was probably a typical bloke, just keep it to yourself and work through it. And I used things like podcasts, podcasts more lately, but at the, you know, back when 20 odd years ago, it was reading books, perhaps attending the odd course that gave me some insights. It might not have been about worry, it definitely wasn't about worry, but it would give me a bit of help around practical self-development skills, and I bumbled my way through it. So you certainly can do that. What I would say is that the journey's taken longer and it's been certainly more up and down because of that. But then again, living life, living the experiences, making the mistakes, going on your own journey can certainly be worthwhile, and it can certainly perhaps enrich the learning as well. Going through the tough times and pain, you certainly learn stuff about yourself and about, you know, how, what works with managing worry and that kind of thing. The key part is whether you get support or not, and I would always urge you, if you feel that this is something that you do, you would benefit from it, is to seek out that support. As I said, you can get in touch with me to perhaps give you some thoughts on where you could signpost to that, or if you think coaching is of benefit, might be a benefit, it's more of a future focus, what can I do with the knowledge I've already got about myself, then give me a shout, you know, as a coach. But more importantly, what work are you going to do? Because knowing that you're a worrier, recognizing those things that you are not your worry, that worry time, diarising it in, putting boundaries around your relationship with worry, for example, are all really powerful things. Looking back and recognising how it's woven into the narratives of your life, and then perhaps what the payoffs are, and then perhaps doing work to shift away from that to alternative narratives can be really useful. And it can really, if again I use myself as an example, it can really, really pay off in terms of lightening the load. It's like almost like there's a boulder on your shoulders with worry, isn't there? And it can weigh you down. And if we start to shift that boulder or chip away at it and it becomes lighter, it is freeing. Now, I'm by no means fixed. I'm by no means cured of worry. Worry is always there. I manage it, but I manage it and myself more positively and compassionately. And I'm largely a lot freer than I ever was. Even during the tough times, I'm a lot freer than I ever was with it. And I feel that that's been largely because of that work and that insight. So that's a message of hope, I guess. So I hope this really brings the mini-series of worry to a close. I've covered a lot. We've kind of taken that shallow end of understanding worry, how to release our grip on it so it releases its grip on us, how to go with managing the relationship more positively, and then into the deep end today to look at the deeper stuff and perhaps do the work there. Irrespective of where you are in your journey, good luck with it. It is worth doing. It is worth exploring. Whether you get support or not, and or you don't feel as if you need the support and you're doing the lighter touch tips that we talked about in previous weeks, it really is worthwhile doing it because it can help you rediscover a sense of joy and enjoyment in life and help you maintain energy and motivation for those goals that really matter to you. So let me know your thoughts at dave@restlessmidlifer.com and I'll catch you in future episodes. Thanks for listening. You can check out the show notes and other episodes at midlifereshape.com/podcast. And it'd be great if also if you could subscribe, share, rate, review, and all of that. That would be magic. And if you are a midlifer and you're finding that your health has taken a back seat and you really want to get life back on your terms, put stress in its place and start to lose that weight and lose it sustainably long term for midlife and beyond, pop over to midlifereshape.com to find out about the community membership. And I'd love to see you there. Any feedback or questions or ideas for future show topics or guests, then drop me a line at dave@restlessmidlifer.com. And just one more shout out to Logan Nicholson of musicformakers.com for the awesome music for the podcast. That's it for now. Take care, keep sweating the right sprouts, and look after yourself.